Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We've got a special guest today. Carl Root is on the show. He's got some experience not only with incarceration, but he's also got some experience with solving some of the problems that people run into as they try to reintegrate. So we're going to talk to Carl right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, I want to thank everybody that sent me a note wishing me well after my bypass surgery. Things are going really good. I feel great. I think I'm about recovered from all that, and so it's time to get back into the swing of things, including the podcast. So that's what we're going to do. And once again, thank you, and you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, M-A-T-H-E-R-S-R-O-D-N-E-Y @yahoo.com. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Carl Root, and Carl has done a lot with reintegration. He's been through it himself, and we're going to pick Carl's mind today on how maybe we can get some ideas in having a successful reintegration. Carl, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Well, thank you, Rodney. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to have you today. Can we just start off by getting a little bit of your background? Tell us a little bit about yourself and where it is you're coming from.
All right. Well, I am a fairly young man, born in the late 1950s, who in the early 80s during the... What was that?
I didn't say anything. Keep going.
Root. Carl Root.
Keep going, Carl.
Born in Albany, Georgia, back in the late 1950s. But anyway, caught a charge, got arrested, convicted, and charged with possession of marijuana with intent to distribute. I was in possession of about a nickel bag, but because I had empty bags and a scale, that was enough circumstantial evidence to convict me of a felony, mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years.
Jeez. How ridiculous is that? How much of that did you do?
I did 3 months, but actually I served all 10 years on paper.
Well, of course you did.
You understand that too. Oh, yeah. I did 3 months on the inside, took advantage of a program that they had going on inside the institution, mm-hmm. and was able to do my time on probation. 9 years, 9 months.
Now, was that in Georgia?
Yes, it was in Georgia. All was done in Georgia.
Okay. So people, you're going to find, Carl, that people that are listening to this show have pretty much, including me, have walked in your shoes, done some time, been on paper. So we're pretty familiar with how all that works. So you did this time. You got that big X on your back. So can you give us some insight on how you jumped the housing and employment hurdle when you came out of prison? How did you handle that?
I was fortunate enough to have enough family support and the wherewithal to seek out support groups that enabled me to overcome a lot of the obstacles and hurdles that the state of Georgia present for those who are reentering. Say, for instance, because I had a drug-related crime, I went into the Narcotics Anonymous and the Alcoholics Anonymous support groups where I met people who were dealing with the same issue. You know, out of the 7.5 million people in the United States that are under some form of correctional control, only 2.2 million are actually incarcerated. But those of us on the outside, the over 5 million, we have to pay our own way. We have to find a job to pay our bills for food, clothing, and shelter. That, for me, was very, very hard. And a lot of times, I just wanted them to go ahead and revoke my probation and send me to prison because of the insurmountable odds I had to face in finding suitable employment with a felony conviction and to find housing and social service. It wasn't easy, but I was able to overcome it with the help of the, again, I say, family support and support groups that I involved myself with.
Yeah, I think you'll find that a lot of us that are affiliated with this show can definitely relate to what you're talking about. Some of us having been on house arrest on monitors for years at a time on GPS monitors. And so I definitely relate to what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, people don't understand that when you're on house arrest with a monitor, you basically are paying for your own incarceration. I mean, that's what that is. And
that's right.
So finding a job, and you're saying that you were able to do that, I'm assuming through networking with people that you met through your 12-step groups, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. And so I'm sure you would recommend that to people that, you know, a lot of people will say, man, I really don't want to go to NA or AA. Well, make it work for you. That's what I always say. Get in there and meet some people. Get in there and meet some people and see if they can help you a little bit. Okay, so you talk about something that you call life sentence on the outside. And I think that's what you're alluding to with, well, why don't you just tell us, what is it that you mean by that so we've got a good grip on that?
Okay. Once you're done serving the time on the inside, you have to carry around that conviction, that X, that mark on your back for the rest of your life.
That's right.
And what happens in that process is, you are carrying that mark, and a lot of applications, I don't know if they're doing it in Texas, but in Georgia, you have that mark on your back, and what happens is you are considered an ex-convicted felon as long as you have to fill out an application that states, have you ever been convicted of a felony crime?
Right.
We have successfully banned the box in Georgia as of late, but prior to the year 2010, 2015, those applications still existed, where have you ever been convicted of a crime was a question on all applications.
Right. And so what that does, as I'm sure you found out, and those of us that have been down this road know, that when you can't lie. So you have to tell the truth, and once you check that box, your application's probably going to go in the trash can. And so,
yes, sir.
And so you don't. But when they don't have the box, that doesn't mean that you're a shoo-in for getting a job. What it does is it at least gets you an interview so that you can explain yourself, right? I mean, wouldn't you say that's the case? I mean, you still have to tell the truth. We advocate telling the truth. You don't want to not tell the truth, because as soon as they find out, they're going to fire you if they hired you. So you always want to be upfront and honest. But that'll get your foot in the door so that you can at least. I'm glad that Georgia has done that. I know that kind of seems to be the trend across the nation is to ban that box. But it doesn't cure all of the problems, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I also see where you talk a little bit about I guess it's your family responsibility when you're coming home from incarceration, about being a father, stepping back into that role. What kinds of things have you done along those lines, and what would you like to tell us about that?
I got involved, really, and spirituality really helps. That's something that came from the support group.
Okay.
To seek a power greater than yourself. So I eventually got involved in the church. And what that did for me was to get involved in some form of ministry. And for me, that was men's ministry. Anything that had to do with manhood, fatherhood development. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of young men who were caught up in the systems well, and they also needed some kind of support. So that really helped me to surround myself with like-minded individuals who were seeking to overcome the same obstacles that I had. And, you know, I found that service work, when you're serving someone else, it helps your own situation. And that's what it did for me. It helped me to get involved with a group of men who were seeking to overcome the obstacles they faced, and then at the same time, maintain their relationship, a productive relationship with society and their families and children.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to men coming out right now that are shirking that responsibility, that are not stepping up as fathers? What kind of advice would you have for them today?
I would say to them not to give up, because it's a strengthening process. You know, my mom always used to say, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger.
Right.
And what I found is when I'm in an environment where people are struggling and I have just a little bit of help to give, it not only strengthens me as an individual, but it also gives other people the inspiration and encouragement to step out of their own pain and move past the pain. Mm-hmm. So I would say to any man who's going through, as I had, to not give up. Never, never, never give up. Because every day, as long as there's life, there is hope.
I totally agree with that. And you never know how much influence you're having, even when there's not much you can do or much you can do to help out, just the effort. You'd be surprised how much that helps. We're kind of getting short on time here, Carl. So ex-offenders listening to the show today, what advice would you have for them as they're coming out and they're serious? I always put this part in here. You have to be serious about wanting a successful reintegration. If you're still wearing baggy pants and hanging out on the corner, you're just not going to get there. But what advice would you have for people that are coming home today and want to have a successful reintegration and to put this behind them? What would you like to say to them today?
This is what I would say to anyone who's seeking successful reintegration into the community. Align yourself with agencies, even as a volunteer, that are agencies that are helping people to successfully reintegrate. Volunteer with those organizations and lend your strength. Every person has a gift. And just because you've been locked up, it doesn't mean that you lost your gift. That gift may be administration. That gift may be driving. That gift may be landscaping. Whatever the gift is, contribute that gift to an organization that is seeking to help those who are seeking to successfully reintegrate into the community. Anyone can be great because anyone can serve. You don't have to be seeking greatness, but seek to help somebody else. Excellent. And as you do that, you will find yourself getting out of that those playgrounds and getting out of the environments where those same old playmates that may have led you to your incarceration situation may find themselves leaning more toward trying to do what you're doing in order to better yourself. Mm-hmm. When you surround yourself with people who are doing productive things and doing things to help someone else, you'll find yourself doing the same thing. What do they say? Association brings on assimilation.
Yes, it does.
Birds of a feather flock together. So that has been the greatest help to me. I joined with an agency that was helping reentering citizens. I ended up getting on the board of directors. I developed a skill set that is now useful, where I went ahead and developed my own support group for returning citizens.
Excellent. Carl, how do people find out more about you and what it is you're doing? Do you have a web page? Is there a way that people can learn more about you?
Yes, my web page is www.carlroot2.com. That's Root, spelled R-O-U-T-E, my first and last name, C-A-R-L-R-O-U-T-E, number2.com. You can also find some of the work that I'm doing with a nonprofit agency, Community Council MA.org. That's www.communitycouncil.org.
Excellent. Carl Root, what an excellent story of inspiration. What an excellent message. Bless you, brother, for what you're doing. We appreciate you being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you, Rodney, for having me, and bless the listeners.
Yes,
I hope I said something that can help somebody.
I'm sure you did. Carl, thank you so much. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Love to hear from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I want to thank my special guest today, Carl Root, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.